The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you very much. God bless you. You may be seated. But even as you are sitting down, like I said in the first service, we have not greeted ourselves properly for some time. So let's greet ourselves properly now. Good morning, my neighbors. Are you doing? Are you doing? Oh, oh, oh. Some of you are looking at me like, what kind of proper greeting is this? That's how we roll. That's how we roll. You know, we talked about the values in God's Favorite House. One of our values is that we value humor. We don't take ourselves seriously. And we laugh at ourselves. So when you hear us greeting each other like that, it's because we are just trying to relieve the pressure. You know, pressure tiwa. Pastor Joyce said that there's no more traffic because fuel price has gone up. Instead of us complaining and moaning about it, what do? We laugh about it. Because we know that we have a God who is more than capable to take care of his own. Amen. God is more than capable to take care of his own. Hallelujah. Yes, if you want to clap, we can clap. God is more than capable. And today, coincidentally, we're talking about safe in God's arms. You know, the song that the choir started out with in the morning. If you listen to the lyrics, it was still talking about how God protects us, how God shields us, how God cares for us. You know, so, and they didn't know that this was the topic I'll be talking about, right? Did you guys know? So it just means that they are in the spirit. We're operating on the same frequency. Hallelujah. I know Pastor Richard also, he said he had been ruminating on those scriptures, and he brought the scriptures forward, and it's the same thing, talking about the same concept about in God's hands. You know, so that's, for someone, could already mean that God means business today, and God is talking to you. God wants to talk to you, so I would encourage you to please pay good attention. So that you don't miss on anything. Hallelujah. All right. I shared a joke in the first worship experience, and I'll share the same joke again now. So if you are here, just do me a favor. When it gets to the point where you're supposed to laugh, just help me to laugh. Don't say that you have heard it before. If you don't laugh, I'll come down from here. Problem to work. Hallelujah. So there's this story of a woman who, a married woman, and was sleeping on the same bed with her husband. And she just tapped the husband. Her birthday was supposed to be in a few days' time. So she just tapped the husband from sleep and said, honey, do you know that I just had a dream right now? And I had a dream that on my birthday, I received a beautiful package. And inside the package was plenty jewelry, beautiful jewelry like this. And the husband was like, okay, that's nice. No problem. Let's go back to sleep. So the two of them went back to sleep. And in the morning, the husband woke up and said, honey, that's your dream. I know what to do. So a few days down the line, when it was the birthday, the husband, of course, knowing what to do, came home with a beautiful package as a birthday gift and gave it to the wife. And the wife was very expectant, very excited. And she opened the package. And inside the package, the husband put a book there titled, How to Interpret Dreams. Hallelujah. You know, at times, we men, we don't get it. So you have to speak clearly. Just say you want jewelry. Don't be coding it in dreams. Which dream? I beg you. All right, praise the Lord. On Wednesday, when we were at Tribe, you know, when you come to Tribe, if you haven't been coming to Tribe, you're missing. All right, so at Tribe, someone asked a question. He said there's this song that we popularly sing. Oh, Mema, Always on time.
You can't do no wrong. Oh, Mema. You lead the 99. Always for the one.
So, the song is talking about a shepherd that has 100 sheep. And he abandons 99 because one is missing. So someone asked a question during tribe and said, Pastor, what happened to that 99 that was abandoned for the sake of one? Who was taking care of it or what was happening to it? And God helped us. We answered the question. And I will not answer it here because I want you to go and watch it online yourself. Hallelujah. So that will tell you that you have to be coming for tribe so you don't miss the answers to critical questions like that. But that now got me thinking. So one pastor told me that I was going to take the teaching for today, the message for today. I started thinking about the concept of the shepherd. And I said to myself, who is best in the Bible to tell us about a shepherd? What a shepherd should be and how a shepherd should operate, other than King David himself. So today we'll be taking the scriptures from Psalm 23, very, very popular verse. I remember when I was young, much young, my mom, of course, would always try her best to ensure that we go to church and, you know, try and be a good boy. So I remember there was one party that was supposed to happen. And all of us were supposed to go. It was a children's party. We were all looking forward to it. I think that morning, she just said we should recite this Psalm 23. And we did not know it. That was the condition given before we could go to the party. So she made sure on that day, all of us memorized it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anybody that will not memorize it that day. No party for you. I don't know if some parents still do those kind of things nowadays. You know, it helps. Because I remember it from then. I think I was maybe 6 or 7 years old then. And I can still remember over 40 years ago. But Psalm 23, NKJV version, says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, when David was describing the Lord as his shepherd, he knows that he himself, David, was a shepherd. And by all standards, was a good shepherd. And he used that now to but to be able to rationalize and think and say, the way God has been taking care of me, the way God takes care of me, calling God a shepherd, a good shepherd, would actually be a good way to describe what God is for him. Have you ever seen, I know we don't have this kind of sheep in Nigeria, but have you ever, even if it's in a movie, picture, anyway, have you ever seen a sheep doing this before? Have you? Okay, no, you've seen it before. Okay, good, there one person. Two people have seen it, amazing. Okay, I have never seen it before, so a lot of you were on the same side. I've never seen this before until I was preparing this message. When a sheep is like this, they say the sheep is cast. That's the terminology, that the sheep is cast. When the sheep gets into this position, usually what happens is that it gets toppled over. Maybe it misses its step and it falls over. When it does this, it actually cannot stand up on its own. Once it topples over like this, it can't get up on its own. As soon as this happens, gas begins to build up in its stomach, in the rumen. Animals like this, you have two different stomachs. The first one is called the rumen. So gas begins to build up there very quickly. As soon as that gas begins to build up, if he is not helped, the next thing that begins to happen is that it begins to defecate on itself right there without being able to move. Not only can it not move, when it's in this position, it becomes difficult for it to even bleat. It's not able to say meh. So it can't cry for attention. It's just stuck. Again, when it's in this position, it begins to pull. Another thing that begins to happen is that blood begins to flow away from its leg. Now, depending on the temperature, the weather temperature for that day, within 3 to 4 hours, if the sheep in this condition doesn't get someone to help it, it dies. Within 3 to 4 hours. If it's a cooler day, maybe it can extend to like 8-9 hours. But if it's a hot day, 3-4 hours, the sheep is dead. So technically and by the way, if you ask shepherds, people that have reared sheep, this is actually like a common occurrence. It happens regularly. A lot of us, we are Lagos bubbles. We don't know what happens with raising sheep. So we've never seen this before. And we're together. I'm like that also. So just bear with me. All right. So the question is, what makes a sheep to get into this kind of condition? What makes it to just topple over? One, when it becomes overweight, the overweight comes from two ways. Sheep is normally reared for the wool that they produce on their body. This kind of sheep, the wool that they produce on their body. Now, if that wool is not harvested on time, it can become so heavy that it becomes a struggle for the sheep to move. So that when it is moving, if anything tips it, it just tips over, the leg goes up, and that's it. Secondly, if the sheep has been well fed, that is very fat, that can also lead to this. Again, it's also as a result of being overweight. Thirdly, if the sheep is pregnant, I'm sure you've seen goats that are pregnant before. Each time I see it, I'm like, God is wonderful. Because when they are rolling like this, especially when it's almost due for delivering the kid, the way they are so big, monstrous, I wonder like, wow, amazing. But when the sheep is pregnant, this can also lead to this. A few things now that I realized on studying this cast sheep. By the way, in Nigeria today, when you want to say something as something, yawa don't gas, you will say you don't cast. That's how we say it. You say you don't cast. I don't know, maybe this is where they got that terminology from. I don't know. But it applies very critically. Because when the sheep has turned over, he don't cast. He don't cast. When the sheep has turned over, it has cast. Number one reality that this sheep this sheep that has cast is that, number one, once the sheep has tipped over, once it has cast like this, it can't help itself again. If a cat was lying on his back, it just moves and stands up. Human beings, when we are lying on our back, we just get up and go. A lot of other animals can just get up and go. But for this sheep, they can't. They can't help themselves. Like I said earlier on, they are not even able to cry out for help. They can't even say, meh, in that position, so that people around or the shepherd, if it's not too far, will say, okay, what's going on there? I'll come and help. They can't even voice out. A number of times as humans, we could find ourselves in situations that we can describe and say, you don't cast. The truth is that just like this sheep, a lot of times we're not able to help ourselves. And a lot of times we'll keep quiet and don't cry for help. The second thing that I realized about the cast sheep is that the other sheep around it cannot also help it. So going back to the question around the sheep 99 and one that is lost, that was left behind, I asked myself again a separate question. What will make, I mean, there is 100 sheep. I've seen people rear cows. You know, love, you know, I'm a farmer. So in my farming community, I see people herd cows. And the cows all move together. And I ask myself, what will make one to get missing? How? Because they just move together in a group. This is a perfect reason why one can get missing. Because one, you remember what we said, once it tips over, it can't help itself. And it can't even shout for help. So this could be a very good reason why it gets missing. Now, to make it worse, the other sheep will probably see it, but they are not equipped, or they are not designed to have the ability to go to help it to flip over. They can't. As human beings, we surround ourselves at times with people that we call our friends, but when there's trouble, when they don't cast, they are the ones that will actually cast us. They are the ones that will leave us. Because technically, they keep following, the others keep following the shepherd. 99, they forget the one. Only the shepherd is equipped. Only the shepherd is willing, is interested in saying, no, that one, I must look for it. I must get it back. So if you're one that is just building clout and building and raising, surrounding yourself with friends, thinking that, oh, on the day of adversity, they will be there. I got news for you. It will not be cast for you in Jesus' name, because they can be like this sheep. Third reality from this story is that the things that we have acquired is no longer useful for us in that situation. Sheep that is being raised for the wool that it produces, all of that wool, if it tips over and nobody comes there, it's going to die with it. So if we live our life all about amassing wealth, I want to hammer, I got to make it, and on and on. If that is all that we're living our lives for, I'm sorry to tell you, the day it casts, it's not going to be useful for you. Hallelujah. The fourth thing that I realized from this story, this experience of the cast sheep, is that the things that has actually been acquired can actually be the reason for our problems at times. So in this instance, the excess weight of the goat, which represents the things that the goat has been acquiring, is what made it to be overweight, that it now tipped over. So is it not good to amass? Oh, it's okay to amass. It's okay to improve in wealth. It's okay to increase in wealth. But more importantly is that that wealth must be something that is constantly flowing. What do I mean? The wool is like the air of the sheep that needs to be shed, that needs to be shaved and removed regularly. If you leave it and just get it to be too much, that's when it becomes a danger. That's when it becomes a problem for the sheep. The wealth that God has directed towards you is not just for you to keep and store. The wealth that God has directed for you, towards you, is for you to be a channel. A channel to your society. Is for you to be a channel to your community, to your family, to your church, to your nation. It's not just for you to just keep amassing and amassing, amassing. So David must have experienced at one point in time or more times, a lot of times, in the course of him being a shepherd, he must have experienced like this kind of sheep being cast and a whole lot of other experiences he had. So that when he wanted to describe God, he started Psalm 23 by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So we pick the first lesson that, from this text for today. The first lesson from Psalm 23. It says, when we know who God is, it is easier to trust him in the unknown. When we know who our God is, it's very easy, it becomes easier for us to trust him. David, when he was saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he wasn't saying this from a prophetic point. He wasn't saying this from a, I believe, I'm praying, I'm hopeful, I'm faithful. He was saying this from an experience point. Saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," because he has experienced God sorting him out. This psalm was not written during the time of Jollof, of David. It was written during the time that David was running away from Saul. Let's picture this. To hide, Saul had declared him wanted. And David was in Israel. Saul was the king of Israel. So everybody in Israel was subject to him. So for him to have declared David wanted, I want to assume that he probably would have even put a bounty on his head. He would have said, "Oh, David, whoever brings David, there is there's some money that you, a ransom, or not ransom now, what's it called? Bounty. There's a bounty, 1 million naira." For David to have been able to escape the fact that nobody could bring him, if you read scriptures, David was interacting. He would go to one village. He would go to one town. He would go to one city. In the process of running, some cities would embrace him and keep him and hide him. Some would want to hand him over. They would come and tell him. He will pick his bag and run away again before Paul comes. Some of them would say, "Okay, stay here." But they would send informants to Saul to come and pick all sorts of stuff, all sorts of gimmick. In the middle of all of that, I want to believe that David must have been able to also raise money to be able to counter those bounties. Meaning that if Saul says that $1 million, whoever brings David, David will be able to say $1.5 million, whoever keeps me, whoever protects me. Now, this was someone that was not working because he was on the run. So how was he able to generate that for David to be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? He must have seen how God sorted him out during that experience. He must have seen God working miracles. He must have seen God doing the impossible. Because if it has, and this applies to all of us, as we are here today, I don't need to package anything. Everybody knows how it is in the country right now. We're experiencing inflation like never ever experienced before. I tried to fill my tank, just to fill up my tank the other day. And it cost me almost 100,000 naira to fill up my tank. That's more than the official minimum wage. So they hook everybody. That's the truth. Even the wealthy knows that if you, I don't even move around a lot, but I finish that 100,000 naira in a week. So in a month, I'm spending almost 500,000 on petrol alone. This is the point where you say, wahala, wahala, wahala. You get my point? So everybody knows how things are right now. But you see, the reality is that the fact that we are sitting here today, able to come to church on your own, to hear this message, is a confirmation that God has kept you very well up till now. And it deserves our praise. It deserves our praise. Because if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, if only we know what the enemy would have packaged for us. If it had not been the Lord, we may not be where we want to be, but we are not where we used to be. We may not be where we desire to be, but we are definitely not where the enemy wants us to be. So David knew this. David had experienced this, and that gave him confidence and assurance to be able to declare, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Like I said during the first service, as I was preparing this teaching, I just thought about it. I said, every one of us here that is an adult, you are a survivor of COVID-19. Let me say that again so that it will sink in. Everybody sitting here today, you are a survivor of COVID-19. The entire world was shut down because of an invisible enemy in the form of a tiny virus. The entire world was shut down. You survived. God deserves some praise. You don't need to wait to get infected, then get cured. The fact that you did not even get infected, hallelujah, that's huge. You did all of that, you passed through it because God was your shepherd. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd, and I laid down my life for my sheep. So Jesus is saying here that he is the good shepherd, and he lays down his life for his sheep. He will do whatever it takes to ensure that his sheep is alive. Who are his sheep? You and I. He's ready to lay down his life to provide all that we need for us at every point in time. Whatever it takes. Christianity is the only religion that I'm aware of that preaches the fact that if you commit a sin, you are forgiven without you having to pay any price. Check all the other religions. If you commit a sin, you will pay. You will pay. You will be the one to pay. The fact is the fact. Let's look at Islam, for example. Speak wrongly about the prophet, their prophet. Ha, wahala, wahala, wahala. Because they will make that person to pay for that sin. But guess what? Jesus says, irrespective of what you've done, irrespective of what you've gone through, just come as you are, and I will forgive you, and I will be your shepherd. That's amazing. God is ready to do everything and anything because he is a good shepherd. We move to verse 2. Verse 2 says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So what do we learn from this? What we learn is the fact that who we listen to and who will believe will determine whether we lay down in trust or stand in fear. Scripture says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So the question is, if I am a shepherd, and I have sheep around me. Should it not be natural for them, when they see green pastures, to just sit down and lie down? Should it not? Because what is the sheep looking for? Is it not green pasture? Now he sees pasture. The natural thing is for them to lie down. But if you check, they only lie down when there is the absence of fear, when there is the absence of panic, there is the absence of anything that will make them scared. That's the only time that the sheep will lie down. So it boils down to what they are hearing and what they believe. Thinking about this, I now asked myself, I said, Kunle, let's think about this. If we are saying that God is our shepherd, that means we need to behave like sheep. So if I am to behave like sheep, why am I not calming down for God? The reason is because surrounding me is a lot of noise. Noise that comes in the form of insecurity in the land. Noise that comes in the form of inflation. Noise that comes in the form of increased cost of electricity. Noise that comes in the form of school fees that has to be paid. Noise that comes in the form of cost of petrol has gone up. And all sorts of noise. Can we all relate to this kind of noise? When we hear this noise, it becomes difficult for us to sit down and lie down on green pastures, even when the green pastures are there. The sheep does not sit down and just be eating green pasture. When he sees a lion approaching, he will run. I said in the first worship experience that in my estate where I live, I just saw online a post that PHCN wants to increase the rates. You know, everybody's complaining, say band A, that the rates of electricity right now is very high. But they're even planning to increase it more. So I just did a screenshot of the tweet. I sent it to our estate group. I said, please, guys, make sure we don't enter band A. We don't want band A. Let us stay band wherever we are right now. Let's just be managing it. Because the reality is that they hook everybody. Things are not as it used to be, but they will still get better in the mighty name of Jesus. We always have an invisible enemy, who is always hyping these noises more than it actually is. Because I look at it and I'm like, this year, for example, as it appears like things have been increasingly difficult, I actually pause and I took a mental maths of how it is compared to last year, compared to the year before. If I was actually going to be honest, this year has been better for me than last year, as bad as it appears to be. But I want us to also do this check when we get home. Yes, things have gone higher. Things are more expensive and on, but pause and do the check deliberately. Like Pastor would say, go to your bank, get your statement from the beginning of the year till now. Check how much has gone through your account. That will help you to know if God indeed has been your good shepherd. When the noises begin to come, it is not so much a crime to listen or hear the noise. The bigger problem is, will you believe the noise? Like they would say, the problem of this world started in the Garden of Eden, when Auntie Eve went to eat the apple that she shouldn't have eaten. So the biggest problem, the biggest mistake that she made was not the fact that she listened to Satan. The biggest mistake was the fact that she believed Satan. Because what Satan sold to her was a lie. Oh, did God say you will die? You will not die. As a matter of fact, if you eat this apple, it will make you wise like God. your eyes will be opened. You begin to see lies. And she believed it. She believed it. God doesn't want to leave us at that point. He wants us to move beyond. Because the response, when Eve told God why she ate the apple, the response God gave to her was, "Who told you that?" And that's the approach that we should also be taking. When those noises begin to rise up, when the noise comes up and says, "Oh, you are already over 40, you are not married, you will not be able to get married," you should be able to tell that noise, "Who told you that?" When that noise comes up and says, "Oh, tomorrow is Monday, you have not paid school fees, your children will not be permitted to get to school," you should confront it and say, "Who told you that?" Because God is our good shepherd. God is our good shepherd. You should be able to confront it and say, "Okay, price of petrol has now gone to 1,100. I will not be able to fill my tank again." Who told you? Who told you that? You will still fill your tank. Because God is our good shepherd. He will not abandon us because of the economic situation. He will remain our good shepherd. Number three. We move to verse 3. It says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." The point to learn here is that the closer we are to the shepherd, the quicker our restoration. The closer we are to the shepherd, the quicker our restoration. As soon as the shepherd is directing or leading the herd, if one tips over and the shepherd sees it immediately, what does he do? He goes to help it immediately. Because why? They're still close. If you are far, if you make yourself far away from God, that means solutions to issues can get longer. The tipping over is not real, is the real problem. The real problem of why the sheep cannot rise up again is because of the excess wool. If you are close to the shepherd, what does the shepherd do? The shepherd says, "Okay, there's a problem here. It's not just about the fact that you fell down. The problem is more like you are overweight because of this excess wool." What does he do? He comes to harvest the wool. The shepherd comes to harvest the wool. If it's because there's too much fat in the body, and what does the shepherd do? The shepherd changes the diet. The shepherd changes the diet. That's what the shepherd does. If you see where the sheep, the wool of the sheep is being shaved off, they have to hold the sheep down. He's struggling because the process is not a very likable one to eat. But ultimately, it benefits it because it feels lighter. Jesus says, "Cast your burdens upon me." The excess weight that we're all carrying, this excess weight comes in different forms. It could be in bitterness. It could be in issues that have not been reconciled with family, with friends, with your church. There are instances where people get offended, maybe with their church. They say, "Oh, that church, they are not very loving there. They don't ask after people. They don't call people. They don't follow up with people." We are sorry. Come back. Resolve your issues. Or it could be your friend. It could be your family. I apologize on behalf of the person too. But you are the one carrying the load. Bring it to the shepherd. Let the shepherd help you to shave it. Change your diet. Change your diet. Once you are excessively big like that, a lot of times you can't even control how you move because the weight will be sending you where you don't want to. He says he restores our souls and he leads us in the path of righteousness. The shepherd leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus is saying, "If you give me your hand, I can lead you through the dark valley, through that place, through that path that you don't know. Just give me your hand. And he's saying that he's worthy of our trust. Verse 4. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When David was in the cave, when David was being pursued by Saul, there's a story in 1 Samuel 24. This Psalm 23, when it was really written, wasn't written in a time when David was comfortable. It was written in a time when he was under pressure. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You know, so 1 Samuel 24 tells us one of the times when Saul was pursuing David. And I'll read. It says, now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note. Remember I said earlier on that there are some times where David is running and he gets to some place and people believe in him and they will keep him, they will hide him. He will get to some places, they will say, come and stay, but they will go and leak his secret to Paul and say, to Saul and say, hey, David is here. This is an example. They told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. They've leaked his secret. They burst his bubble. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel. NLT says 3,000 elite warriors. Elite warriors, top of the pack. And he went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. Let's go. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. There's another version that says that he went in to ease himself. So as a king, he cannot be doing the do in front of everybody. He wanted to do major. You get it? You get it? If you don't get it, forget about it. He wanted to do major. So he got to a cave, and he entered, unknowing to him, that was the same cave that David had run into to hide. Because it was a cave, of course, there's no light, there's not very visible. But usually, when you are in the interior part of a cave, you will see the people coming in from outside. They may not be able to see you well. So Saul went into this cave. I'm trying to paint a picture for you so that you'll be able to understand when David was saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Dave was in the cave thinking he was hiding. All of a sudden, Saul came with 3,000 elite warriors, and they were outside the cave, maybe dancing. They're ready for war. As in, war chant was going on, David would be panicking. David didn't have his own army at that time. He had his friends and few people that was around him, but not to fight 3,000 elite warriors. They would have outnumbered him easily. So this was a classic case of when I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. But it doesn't end there. The king now entered into the cave. At that point, David would be like, have they seen us? Have they not seen us? Is that why they are pursuing us inside? All of those would be going on in his mind. Then all of a sudden, they just saw Uncle Saul. He was wearing something like what I'm wearing because it's the king's robe. And he bent down to do the do. David's friend with him said, my Lord, now is the opportunity. Let's read it. Let's go on. Then the man of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. So the people around David said to him, see your enemy. Take him out. You have the opportunity. If you kill him right now, Israel doesn't have a king again. Everybody knows God has said you are going to be the next king. All you have to do is come out and declare, all hail the King David, and everybody will bow down. And case closed, you become king. But David said, I will walk in the valley of the shadow of death. What did he do instead? He crept slowly to where Saul was. Maybe Saul, at that time when he was busy, was scrolling through Instagram. So he did not hear. Oh, sorry, not Instagram, TikTok. So he did not hear that David was coming. He got so close. He took the robe, the tip of the robe of his cloth. I am very sure he did not have a scissors. He probably used his sword to cut it. He would have done like this. In spite of that, Saul did not hear. Saul did not feel it. Went back into the cave. Saul left. Then he came out and said, my lord, sir, see, I would have killed you if I wanted to kill you. What do you think happened? God was saying to him, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. I'm thinking in my mind, the only way at that point that Saul would not have heard him walking inside the cave, the only way God would not have, that Saul would not have heard him when they were whispering amongst themselves, go and kill him. The only way Saul would not have been able to feel the tug on his clothes is because God made him deaf at that time. God made him such a way that he would not even feel things. And that's what God wants to do for our enemies if we will trust him. If we choose to trust him, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For God is with us, and he will be with us in the mighty name of Jesus. The rod and the staff, they comfort us, because this is what God used to direct us. Every shepherd, we all know, Pastor has given us this teaching before, what the rod and what the staff is. The rod for correction, the staff for direction. If we as sheep are humble enough, God is willing to direct us, to lead us to do that which is right. Verse 5, for sake of time. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. As Christians, as children of God, we try to be at peace with everybody. But regularly, there are situations where the enemies rise up against us. And they, for no reasons that for nothing that we have done specifically, they just take us as enemies. God is saying that in the presence of those people, that he is able to prepare tables such a way that even when you are at that table, the anointing on your head will be so much, they won't be able to touch you. And so will it be in the mighty name of Jesus. The enemy can come with all sorts. They can come with lies to just defame us, but God is saying that he will silence their lies in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is very clear that we are not in our final home, those of us that are habitants of this earth. But until the day we are in God's presence forever, we can rest in confidence that his goodness and love is always following us. We have heard it said before that we cannot outrun God. In the first service, that when I was much younger, I wasn't a Christian, I wasn't born again at that time, but I had a very clear strategy to make heaven, and I was not a Christian. My strategy was that I would be very alert every day. So wherever I'm going, I used to always watch and be looking at the skies. My plan is that if I see anything that resembles trumpets like this, before they blow, I will quickly say, God, I'm sorry. That was my plan. Because again, we all know, even the enemy knows that there is a life beyond this world. I wanted to be there, but I was fooling myself. I was fooling myself using my own strategy, which would never work. Of course, which would never work. But thank God for the grace of God. I am born again today. And that is all that is required to make heaven, to accept Jesus into your life. We're going to make a call later on, you know, just in case you are here, you have not accepted Jesus. That is all you need to do to make heaven. And it is very, very critical that you do. Psalm 23 that we just dissected right now is a popular scripture which some people have turned it into like a talisman. People even print it, put it under their pillows. And they just, once they put it there, even if they don't read it, they believe that it protects them. You know, it's interesting. But beyond just the texts, God wants us to actually begin to live the word. God wants us to begin to live the word. David speaks to the relationship that he had built with God in Psalm 23. His life, that is David's life, wasn't perfect or free from drama. But in spite of all, he valued and held on to the relationship he had built with God. He always called upon the name or the names of God. In Psalm 23, we'll reflect on the names of God as follows. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. God's name is Jehovah Rohi, meaning that he is our shepherd. He says, I shall not want. He's just calling God's name again, Jehovah Jireh, because he is our provider. He makes me lie down in green pastures and still waters. That's Jehovah Shalom, because he is our peace. He restores my soul and guides me in his righteousness. That's Jehovah Shekinah, our righteousness. For you are with me. That's Jehovah Shammah. He is the God who is always there. He says, you are my rod and staff, and you comfort me. That's Jehovah Nissi. He's our banner of victory. He says, surely goodness and mercy follow us. That's Jehovah Mekadesh. He is the God who sanctifies. The writer of Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous man runs into it and is safe. David, the shepherd boy, who was known as Israel's greatest king, knew his limitations. He humbled himself and called upon the name of God throughout this Psalm 23. As we fight our battles in life, we must humble ourselves, throw away our pride, and humble ourselves and call upon the name of God the same way David called upon the name of God. So I want to ask at this point, perhaps you are here, you are not saved, you don't have a relationship with God. I want to give you that opportunity first and foremost. I want to give you that opportunity to accept Jesus into your life. And we'll pray with you, because we want you to be able to see God as indeed the good shepherd, because he wants to be your good shepherd. What you've done in the past doesn't matter. Like I said, you don't have to pay the penalty for that which you have done anymore. Jesus has paid the price, but you just have to accept him. I want to declare, Father, I thank you. I am grateful for the opportunity to come before you this morning. Accept me as I am. Lord, today, I accept that you died for me. I believe that you are my Lord. And from today, I confess that you are my God. Bring me into your fold. Let my life be transformed from now on. The things that I've struggled with in the past, let me cease to struggle with them. Let my walk with you, let it be pure. Let it be true. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful for today. Thank you for everyone that has heard this word. Thank you for your children that have decided to follow you. Lord, I'm grateful. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help every one of us, oh God. The words that has gone out this morning, Lord, it will land on fertile ground. It will grow roots and bear fruits in the mighty name of Jesus. Honor and glory we give to you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen. Amen. Yes, go and give a clap offering unto the Lord. Amen. Everybody say, God bless Pastor K. Amen.